simply kind of the title of tonight's message is the condescension of God. And basically to condescend as it relates to God becoming man is that he has voluntarily, he chose to take on a lower position. And we might think of that in terms of us getting on our hands and knees to play with little children. Or sometimes if you've seen that show, Undercover Boss, that's also an example of someone who was condescending by stepping down from his high position to work with the lowest employees that he had. But as we'll consider tonight, there's really no example, no illustration to describe the condescension of Christ because it's beyond all comparison. The eternal God becoming one of his creation is without any parallel in our relationships and our experiences. We might be able to get down on our hands and knees and play with a child, but still it's creation and creation interacting. There's still one created being playing with another created being. And so it's a glorious truth, and I pray that this evening we'll consider that more, to think that God took on flesh. If it wasn't true, if God didn't take on flesh, then we'd still all be dead in our sin. There'd be no hope for our future. There'd be no hope even in this life. There'd be no good news. And so we're just going to look at this morning kind of an expansion from my thoughts in Luke 22. Before we get there, though, I'm just going to make a couple introductory points which are important, because if we aren't careful, we're going to fall off the cliff to heresy. So, one, Jesus is God. I'm not going to elaborate on that point. Hopefully, we all trust unreservedly. We agree that Jesus is God. We understand that's what the Bible teaches. And so we affirm that. But it is necessary if we're going to consider that God became man, that God condescended, we need to understand that Jesus is God. And then second, Jesus is the God-man. When Jesus was born, he took upon himself the nature of a man and was fully man, while at the same time he retained his deity. So both being fully God and fully man in one person. And the union of those two natures, of those two wills in one person, is called the hypostatic union. How exactly God and man dwell in one person is beyond our understanding. But when we refer to the divine nature of God in the person of Christ, we're accepting the truth that Jesus in the flesh was no less God at any time, and that he retained all of his attributes or perfections of his deity, though he did choose to veil or cover those at times. And there were also understanding as it refers to his human nature. We're accepting the truth that Jesus was also fully man, with all the essential qualities and limitations of a human. So that's very basic. There's lots more you can think about and study on in that. And you can do that yourself, or we'll talk about it another day. But again, this evening my attention is I'm just going to present some examples of how God willingly, lovingly, joyfully, voluntarily chose to lower himself by coming into this world that he created. And so I'm going to do it by highlighting his deity and then his humanity. And I pray that all that would just increase our love for God as we recognize who he is, what he's done, that it would also lead us to awe and praise as we recognize what he has done for our sake. If you are taking notes, then I just suggest that you have two columns, one titled God and the other man. And we're just going to very quickly go through these examples And so, in some sense, I'm hoping to build a tower, a building at the end, a magnificent structure that we're going to add brick upon brick until we get to the full magnificent building and understand further the beauty and the majesty of God becoming man. So, in 2 Corinthians 8:9, that's really our summary statement. And that's actually the basis for that song that the adult choir just sang. Because it reads, Paul writing here by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though being rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." And that's a summary statement of God condescending. God being rich became poor. And in that context, rich shouldn't relate only to finances, but it's referring to God's glory, his authority, his power, his status, that all of that he holds because he's God. So we ask, why would he do that? Why would he set aside his glory, his status, his power, his authority? And Paul says, for your sake. And so he, God himself, became poor so we, filthy beggars, miserable wretches, might become rich. He did it for us. And what did he do? And that's what we're going to work through. I'm going to just start at the beginning of Jesus' birth. I'm going to work through then to the end of his life and consider what it means and what God did choosing to become poor though he was rich. And there's going to be a lot. As I said, we're just going to go through it briefly. Again, if you have the illustration of building brick upon brick so that even though you won't memorize all the bricks, and you won't recognize the beauty of an individual brick, hopefully at the end, you'll recognize the beauty of the structure those bricks have built as we consider who Christ is. So, one, God who is holy, holy, holy. He's too pure to look upon evil. He hates evil. He dwells in a place of sinless perfection in heaven. He chose to enter into and experience the wicked world. They too, God, independent, in need of no one, voluntarily came as a dependent, weak, helpless, vulnerable baby. God, the one who made and gave the law, chose to be one who came born under the law and then submit himself to the law. God, whose voice thundered from the heavens, who spoke and things existed from nothing, condescended to utter the cries of a little baby. God, the one in need of nothing because he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the one who said, "If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine as well as its fullness." And yet he craved the milk of his mother. And many times we read that he got hungry. God, who needs no rest, who neither sleeps nor slumbers, willingly took on human form. He slept in his mother's arms. He slept in a boat. And we know that he got so tired that he had to rest. God, the all-powerful, sovereign ruler of the whole universe, joyfully came into the world of poor parents. Again, why is he doing this? Why did he do that? It's for our sake. God eternal with no beginning or end, he's not limited or bound by time, condescended by being born one day in time, which likely wasn't December 25th. Okay, but then he lived an earthly life within the limitations of time. God, the creator of man and woman, the one who instituted marriage, who blessed humanity with children, voluntarily became the offspring of a woman that he had made. God, the creator and owner of everything, joyfully stepped down from his heavenly throne, his eternal glory, and was placed in an animal's feeding trough because there was no room for him in the house. God, the giver of all good gifts and owner of all possessions, chose to come as a baby and receive the gifts of men. Why did he do that? For your sake, for our sake. May God, everywhere, at all times, omnipresent, with no limitations or exceptions, chose to enter into the world in a small, almost unheard of town of Bethlehem. Then he chose to grow up in the despised town of Nazareth. This was all in accordance to his predetermined plan and choice, knowing he would do these things out of love for us, for our sake. God, the deliverer and protector of his people, from whom no one can deliver from his hand, willingly depended on his human parents to rescue him and flee to Egypt because Herod wanted to kill him. God, the authority over every person who's ever lived, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, condescended by submitting to his parents. And that at times would have included obeying his parents even when he was right and they were wrong. And then again, God, who knows all things, he's never learned a thing because his knowledge is perfect, complete, and eternal, chose to grow up in this world learning like the rest of us do. If there was a school in that day, he would have gone to school. He would have had to learn to walk. He would have had to learn to talk. Learn how to go to the potty. He also chose to learn obedience, though he was perfect. God, all wise, perfectly wise, eternally wise, voluntarily submitted himself to increase and grow in wisdom. God, who cannot be tempted by evil, willingly experienced temptation. And we know he did that without sin. But again, he did that for us, for our benefit. God, whose spirit and invisible being chose to take on flesh and make himself visible. And Luke 2:21 tells us God in the flesh was even circumcised. That God, the creator and ruler of angels, who commands his angelic army, who condemns the demonic army, condescended by being ministered to by his angels. That happened at least twice in his life. God, the devil's master, and so far opposite the devil's in character, submitted himself to receive the accusations that he himself was of the devil. His dominion is both heaven and earth, and yet he joyfully lived with no security or comfort, saying that he had no place to lay his head. Again, doing so for our sake. God, who's clean and pure, chose to touch lepers, to eat with tax collectors, to train the uneducated. God, who's perfectly faithful and existed from all eternity in perfect unity within the relationship that he had with the triune God, he chose to be betrayed by one of those closest to him and chose to be deserted by his very best friends. God who does as He pleases, when He pleases, because He pleases, voluntarily submitted to the desires of His murderers. God, the judge of all the earth, who will judge the living and the dead, condescended by being arrested and submitting Himself to the judgment of man. God who received the worship and praise from the angels in heaven, joyfully received the mocking and insults of men. God, the one who wounds, chose to be wounded. God, who's master of all and servant of none, chose to serve and give His life a ransom for many. God, the one who gives life and cannot die, voluntarily gave up His life dying on the cross for sin. God, the good shepherd, He chose to become the sacrificial lamb. Why? For your sake. God, who's immutable and does not change, cannot change, joyfully experienced pain and suffering. God, who has never sinned and deserves no consequences for sin, willingly bore our sin. He suffered the righteous wrath of God on our behalf. God, who forgives sin and is unstained by sin. Condescended by becoming sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. God, who needs no advocate, mediator, representative, chose to become one of us in all things so that He, being a faithful and merciful high priest, would make propitiation for the sins of the people. God, the rightful owner of everything and everyone, who owes nothing, He buys nothing, He lovingly purchased His people with His own blood. And again, why did He do that? Why would God, infinitely rich in every way, in need of no one and nothing, become poor? Again, as Paul said in that passage in 2 Corinthians, for your sake. You could even think of it in first person, for my sake. And so if only you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe in this God-man who came to earth, though being rich and came as one who chose to be poor, if you live for this Christ, turning from your sin and choosing to follow Him, you will receive all of the blessings of His condescension. The Puritan preacher Thomas Watson puts it this way. He was poor that He might make us rich. He was born of a virgin that we might be born of God. He took on our flesh that He might give us His Spirit. He lay in the manger that we may live in paradise. He came down from heaven that He might bring us to heaven. And then one I wanted to add, He dwelt among men on earth so that we might dwell with Him in heaven. Isn't that a glorious thought? That we'll dwell with Him in heaven forever. Because He chose to condescend. Though He was rich, He became poor, so that we, poor creatures, might become rich. And if you know Christ, He did that for you. Let's pray. Father, what a glorious thought, humbling thought. May it be an awe-inspiring thought to know that God condescended and came as man, that He willingly, lovingly, joyfully, voluntarily chose to take on human flesh for our sake, that from the beginning of His life as man through to the end, that it was all just part of His predetermined plan according to His love, that it was for our sake that He endured all that He endured, that He suffered what He suffered. Father, the experiences He went through on this earth were for our sake, so that having been tempted in every way and yet without sin, we can now come to You boldly, because our great, great High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, through His death and resurrection, has brought us to You. So, Lord, while He was rich in His poverty, now we've become rich. And so, Lord, we think on this and pray that brick upon brick would build in our minds a magnificent building and structure as we recognize all that You have done for us out of Your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.